Playback TV, April 15th. We have the 2024 WNBA draft taking place. Make sure to be in tune. This is going to be a fun event as we watch the college stars finally transition to the pros. I know that many people are expecting Caitlin Clark to go number one to the Indiana Fever. However, the question is, who's going to go number two? Who's going to go number three? Who's going to go number four? And we had an abundance of other talents, including Cameron Brink, including Rekia Jackson, and so many others. So make sure to please be in tune. I will leave the link in the description. Now, without further ado, let's dive into the episode. This is another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your host, Nick Andre. Thank you guys once again for tuning in. It's the season finale. Last episode before we transition to season three, and I had to bring on a very special guest. He is the host of one of my personal favorite pods out right now, the Uncommon Commentator. Excuse me. I got my guy, Jamie. What's going on with you, man? Happy to have you.
Man, I appreciate that. And knowing that I'm one of your favorite podcasts out right now is an honor, man. I just love when people tell me that they enjoy the podcast, man, because I enjoy doing it. So the fact that you're telling me this, I appreciate that love, man.
Nah, I mean, give credit to you. Give credit to Zoe. And then what's the other guy's name? Jonah, I think that's his name.
Yeah, Jonah. Yep.
Yeah, man. Give credit to y'all, man. Y'all definitely be killing it. But even though y'all been my favorite part for a little minute now, man, I got a bone pick with y'all, man. I was listening to one of y'all's episodes, man. Y'all was saying Jason Tatum is a number two option. So you want to explain that for a second?
I'm trying to think. What did I actually say he was? Or
was I think I can't remember if y'all exactly said that, but I know y'all debated it.
Okay. Let me see. Now, here's the thing about when I say that about Jason Tatum. I think that with like the ring culture, we've made people think like you have to be a number one to be like, if you're a great player, you gotta be number one. Like, I feel like Kyrie fell into that, like leaving Bron. Like he had it made in heaven right there. Like Bron was letting him shoot however many times he wanted to shoot the ball, but he had to be number one. So I don't know if Tatum actually falls into that number two thing, but I just feel like if he is that, it's okay. It's okay. And I get like, but he's 26 and he did so much already. He's led teams. He's been to the finals. He's been to the conference finals like what, three times, four times?
Say a lot of times.
So a lot of times. So it's like, it was just something like I put out there. Like, I don't think he actually is. And me, I put out there like I'm a Duke fan. So just watching him and since college and seeing his footwork, like he can't be number one. It's just like, it's just weird with Boston. So I just put it out there because we just all know Boston's going to make it to the finals. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we all feel. So it's like, damn, is he a number two?
So if y'all consider him a number two, so does that mean that y'all would probably rely on Jaylen Brown to be the number one option?
No, man. I feel like they're both number twos, like a 1A, 1B.
So there's no number one?
Yeah, it's like that's how it feels sometimes when you watch Boston. Now, just watch them. It's like you never know who actually is who's number one on the team. Like, this is their number one option. Sometimes you just don't know. And it's like, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I get it, like, money. We look at their contracts. It's like, man, you're getting number one money. But the salary cap didn't went up. Like, everybody's – so it's like, you're going to get paid more. Think about this. Like, when Rose got his max out contract, he was making $19, $20 million.
Yeah,
that's a role player.
It's different today. Now they're getting 300, 400 million. Now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that was a max contract. It was like, man, Rose is getting paid. That is a Maxi Kleber probably getting that much now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like we look at their money and we expect them to be doing certain things, but Tatum has done a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was just a question I had that I put out there. Like, I did put it on Twitter one day. I had to mute it because, like, people was trying to cook me on it. But it's like, I just wanted to see how people felt about it because you see so much. It's like, he's never in the MVP talk. his team is running away with everything. So everybody's like, his team is this. So it's like, is Tatum not that dude? Like, I know he's not averaging 30 points a game, 35 like Luka, but his team is still number one. So it's like, what? Why is he not getting no type of respect? You know what I'm saying? I'm not a Celtics fan. I like Tatum, but it's like, it's just weird with him. The talk you see across, you know, hoops conversations on Twitter, on TV, YouTube, all that. So I don't know. How you feel about Tatum?
I mean, if you're asking me, I think, well, here's the thing. So you're not the only one who has that logic. You know, I've had conversations with other people who do believe or who do question whether Jason Tatum is a true number one option or could he be a guy to lead you to a championship. And I get it. You know, I definitely understand 100%. You know, I think Tatum has had moments where he's shining, and then he's also had moments where, you know, he was non-existent and, you know, he didn't step up to the plate like he needed to. So I can understand where people are coming from. But when it comes to this Celtic team, I think personally me, like, I don't think they can win without Jason Tatum being the number one option. And I think we saw that in the 2022 finals whenever they played Golden State and he didn't have a great showing at all. Like, you know, because, yeah, I think even before that, you know, we had the good series against Milwaukee in the semifinals. He had that 46-point game in game six. And then you move on against Miami in the conference finals and then watching him step up to the plate. So, and I get it. You know, you face a Golden State Warriors team who already had championship experience and they were pretty much a favorite throughout the entire season. But if you ask me, like, I don't think they can win a title without Jason Tatum being the best player on the floor. I mean, Jaylen Brown will definitely have his moments. What was that?
No, I'm with you on that. I agree with you.
Nah, I mean, 100%. I mean, like I say, you know, like, Jaylen Brown, he's a great player, and he's definitely going to have his moments, but I don't know if he's going to be the guy that necessarily lead them to a championship. But I think now, but also, I'll be real, I think right now is probably Boston's best chance of winning it. I'll be real.
Yes.
Out of all the years,
yeah,
them, you know, getting to the conference finals and everything, yes. Like, I think this year has to be their best chance. I mean, and I think it has to be now. And I get it. I know that Tatum's 25, 26, something like that. Jaylen Brown's around 26, 27. So they're still young. You know, they're still kind of, honestly, people can say that they're just now hitting their prime, even though they've accomplished a lot in the past 7, 8 years. But I just feel like right now the window is just open for them. And of course, I mean, you got Denver. You have other teams as well. The Clippers, who knows what they might do. I mean, there's big questions with them. But I think right now the window is open for Boston. I think right now is a better chance ever for them to win. So, with that being said, I feel like in order for them to win, Jason Tatum has to be at his best.
Oh, he absolutely does. No, I definitely agree with you on that. Like, this is their window. Usually what they say, like, that your prime is, what, 27? You start hitting your
exactly.
prime 27, 28. So, it's like, it's crazy to say it, but it's like, yeah, like, look at other teams. Like, it's other teams coming up. You don't want to not miss out on getting a ring this year. Like, you already made it in 22. Wasn't they up 2-1 in that series?
I think they were up 2-1. They won game one. People forget. And it wasn't even because of Tatum and Brown. It was because of Al Horford and
Derrick White. Yeah, they was up in that series. So it was like, man, I'm with you. This is like, you can't have a playoff like you had last year.
Facts.
You can't be struggling in dog fights with teams you shouldn't be in a dog fight with. Like,
exactly. I ain't gonna lie, going down 3-0 against an 8 seed. And I get it, I know it's Miami, but still.
You can't do that to nobody. And then you can't be messing around with the 8 seed, because in your second round, you can get anybody in your second round.
Facts.
You need to be trying to they need to get going. So I don't, because you could tell, like, sometimes they have mental lapses or something. I don't know what it is. With Tatum, like, he'll disappear, or I don't know. I don't want to write nobody off. It was just a question I had, like, so.
No, I get that.
No, yeah, I don't want nobody to be thinking, like, this man, oh, you know, Boston fans, they come out the woodwork, so he come at you. But I think he has to be number one from the win. He has to be.
So, with your logic, let me ask you this. So, with your logic, do you believe that's why Tatum is never really talked about in these MVP conversations? Because even he has expressed that, you know, about a few months ago, saying that, you know, he's the best player on the best team, but he's not necessarily in that same MVP talks as, like, a Luka or an SGA or whoever. So, like, do you believe that, you know, possibly because he may not be a true number one option?
I think some people are starting maybe thinking that, but a lot of times when I had his MVP talks with people, and which I don't even like having them, but it's just wild to see how he's not at one point I saw him like eighth. I'm like, how is he eighth?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And like that's how I started talking. Like, how is he eighth? And people was like, he's not averaging 35 like Luka. He's not doing what SGA is doing. His team, he got all the, his team is so good from top to bottom. But it's like, man, like, but it, no one ever says that he's not number one option. They always give the saying that, you know, talk about the team or what he's not doing what Luka or SGA is doing. But even though Luka's doing what he's doing, he in the play-in. Like, I get it, the West is deeper and harder, but he's still in the play-in.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. SGA, yeah, they the third seed, I think, at this point. And who knows what them Minnesota and Denver, they just playing musical chairs at this point. But, I mean, Tatum still, what is he averaging? 20, like 28? I think he's like doing 28-7-5 or some craziness. Something
yeah,
like
yeah. That. Let me pull it up real quick, man.
I think it's something like that that he's doing. So it's, I don't know, man. It's just been weird. I remember like growing up. I don't know how old you are, but I'm be 38 this year. So it's like a lot of times when people got in that MVP talk, if your team was that good, the best player is going to be in the MVP talks regardless. So it's like now I feel like that's not the case no more because once. You gave it to like Russ for being like a seventh seed. I think he was a sixth seed. And wasn't Denver like a sixth seed when Joker won? So it was like
yeah, about a few years ago, yeah. And yeah. I wasn't a fan of that. I mean, look, I get it, you know, Jokic had a good year and that was a year where they didn't have Jamal Murray because he was recovering from the ACL tear, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah, so like and I get Russ had with a triple double to me where Russ right. was like honor him. Some way, somehow, but he still can't be the MVP. It was like the seventh seed. So I feel like then, I feel like that's when like the tide started turning where anybody can get the MVP now.
Exactly. And I mean, just going back to Tatum, he's averaging 27-8-5. So I mean, that's pretty good numbers. And I get it. You know, I don't understand why people always want to go off for like the point averages and stuff because I mean, like, I get it. You know, that does play a factor, but it's not necessarily everything. It's like, even for me, like with me being a hoop head, I can reflect back to 2006, you had Kobe, you had LeBron, you had Gilbert Arenas, and you had AI. They were all averaging at least like 32 a game, all in that one season. Yeah. Neither one of them won MVP. It was Steve Nash that won.
Yeah.
But the reason why was because Phoenix was one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what people got to think about. So, I mean, I get it, you know, like point averages and stuff like that. Like, that's all good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you definitely have to be one of the top players in the league, but it's not always everything. I think team impact has to play a role as well.
And Luka don't play like what is he doing like 34, 11, and 8? Something crazy he doing, but he don't play no defense.
Nah. And it's like yeah, that's the thing too. You gotta play on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, like you can't just it's like now do we really just only look at one side of the ball now? So when we even thinking about MVP stuff, so it's like MVP talk is just weird now because you just I don't know how to even vote. We need to know, like, what requirements are. Like, do they even have those? You know what I'm saying? Like, I never even knew if we even have that. Like, yeah, now we got requirements for games being played. But exactly. Like, I mean,
they just now came up with it now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, we don't even know what they be actually be looking at when they even be voting for MVP, you know? Exactly. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, when you have, when the experts do, like, the rankings and MVP ladders, Tatum, I think he just started being in the top five, top three as of late. You know, ain't that insane? So it's like, I don't know, man. It's like,
and we talking about bad... like, we talking about experts. We talking about people that are like on ESPN or Fox or whoever. Like, they never had Tatum top five, which is wild.
Till recently, I just started seeing them. And it's not like he was like number two, he's number five at best. So it's right. Like, they got like Joker, SGA. Giannis and I think Luka ahead of him. So, and I get right. Those four aren't bad names, but it's like, come on, man.
Right. Let me ask you this real quick before we transition. Who is your top five? You know, like you don't have to say no particular order. Like, just give like your top five. Who you believe right now is the best in the NBA?
Oh, my top five best players in the league. So I have. Do you have? This is with the injuries, right? Like people who are if they hurt, don't add them, right? All right,
I mean, you can still add on me. It's based on how you feel. I mean, just like
the overview of like before, their career. Like, yeah, if nobody was hurt, like I think Joker, Embiid, I know I'm gonna mess around, miss somebody. Playing right now, I think it's no. I'm not even gonna include Embiid. Just watching games right now, I'm gonna include Giannis, Joker, SGA. Man, I will want to add Bron in this, but he's been playing the last couple of days. He's been playing awful, so I don't even want to add him in that.
Yeah, he's not even playing tonight against Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's not playing. Luka, even though I be talking crazy about Luka defense on Twitter and shit, but Luka is still one. I think still one of the best players in the league right now, and as a fifth player. You put me on the spot.
I would say that fifth was always hard, man.
Yeah. Who I say Joker, SGA, Giannis, Luka.
I mean, I'll be real. I mean, I'm not telling you how to pick your list, but if it was me, I'm still adding Embiid in there because I think when healthy,
Embiid. Listen, before that knee injury, man, he was like a walking 35-15.
Exactly.
Like, it was easy. Like, I would never forget that game. I'm like, man, when he's playing against Golden State, I'm like, man, why is he out there? He was dragging that leg.
Mm-hmm.
Dragging that leg, and then Kuminga fell on it. But yeah, I think those are the best players in the league. Like, night in and night out, I think those are the best players. Like,
no,
like without that. Question. Without question.
I definitely like that. I definitely got to go with the three-headed monsters, Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis. I think definitely, you know, those are all like the last like few MVPs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you definitely got to go with those guys. I'll probably wrap it up. Dang, it's tough. Damn. Now I think about it, it's tough as hell.
Especially when you get put on the spot.
It's no question. Nah, throw that. Exactly. No, that's a fact. I'm gonna throw Tatum in there. I think he's been consistently good. And then I'll probably, I'm trying to.
Ain't that hard?
Exactly, because I'm gonna put Luka in there too, but it's like a part of me wants to add SGA in there as well because SGA's been killing it this year. Mm-hmm. Golly, you got SGA. I like Booker too, but Booker's been in and out of the lineup. I mean, Booker's been good for the most part. That might be it, honestly. I mean, obviously, Bron is Bron, you know,
Bron is Bron
at this point. I mean, even this season, I don't have him top five, but I'll say he could possibly be top 10.
I think
I forgot about Ant-Man.
Yeah, it's hard,
it is tough.
And honestly, the reason, even more so, I got Luka as one of the top five players in the league, I just saw him recently. At the beginning of this month, or a couple weeks ago, when he came here against the Bulls, and I was behind the basket on the Mavericks side, so I got there early enough. I watched him warm up. Just watching him warm up, and then playing in the game, and watching him so close to see how this man did not see this man run full speed one time. I've never seen nobody get to their spot like this.
It's crazy.
And score. And he's so strong. He's not 6'7", 6'8", like people say he is. He like 6'9", to me. And he's so strong. Them dudes were just bouncing off of him. And he was just doing what he wanted to. And so that right there, like, I had to see him live. And now he's on my list of I had to see him every time he comes to Chicago, because it was just, I'm like, this, if he just played defense 30% of the time, who knows what Dallas would actually be? Because what he had a triple double so easily. Like, it was the craziest stuff I've ever seen. Like, it was just, so now, after that night, I was like, yeah, he's definitely top five in the league for me. Even though his defense is nowhere to be seen, like, I just can't ignore his passing, his vision, and his scoring. Like, it's just all world. Like, it's crazy.
Right. And I mean, offensively, he makes it easy. He makes it look easy.
Yeah,
like you said, I mean, he doesn't move fast. He's not going to beat you off of athleticism. You know, it's all based off of just motion, you know, playing at his own pace, you know, playing with his strength. You know, he's going to hit you with a step back. He might drive the lane, like, you know, absorb contact and finish around the basket. Like, he's really good at just manipulating the defense and doing whatever he wants them to do. And that's why, like, that's why Luka's got to be up there. I mean, he's averaging like what 39-9 or something like that. So
it's crazy.
It's just crazy, crazy numbers. Like, you know, like the offense comes easy for him. And he told us this back when he was a rookie. He said, you know, scoring the league is easy. And like, I think a lot of people didn't believe him, but now we look 6 years later.
He's showing it
all. Exactly. So I'll be real, man. I think Luka definitely has to get that respect. And I get it. He doesn't play a lot of defense, but one thing I'll say is that Luka's going to show up in a lot of pivotal moments. I mean, he's shown in big playoff situations. I mean, you talk about what he's done in like a few years playing against the Clippers. I know that he never beat the Clippers in a series, but him just being able to carry the team on his back. We saw what he did against Phoenix a few years ago in that game 7, which was crazy. So Luka, that's one thing I'll say about Luka, man. You know,
That is a good point. That is a good point. I never see people talk about when I see him in the conversations that he has shown up in playoffs. He just don't have the team always to back him to go against these teams. Like,
exactly.
He was just in the Western Conference Finals. Was that 22?
Yeah, 22. So like, when he played Golden State.
Yeah, so it's like he just went against Golden State.
And even then, I mean, I know at the time he had Jalen Brunson and those guys, but I don't know. It just wasn't enough to beat Golden State.
And I don't think at that time Brunson was not.
I don't say he like Jalen Brunson today was. I mean, he was still good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even in that first round when they played Utah, you know, he was able to carry them on the back because people forget Luka didn't play for most of that series.
Yeah, like, I think it was like the first two or three games.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so I mean Brunson was good, but trust me, he wasn't the Brunson.
He wasn't. He wasn't New York. Yeah, he wasn't New York.
Exactly. 100%. But now let's transition, man. Let's look at the play-in, man, because I think the play-in is really interesting, especially as the season is winding down. In the East, you got 7 through 10, Miami, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Atlanta. And then on the Western Conference side, you got Dallas, Phoenix, the Lakers, and the Golden State Warriors. So how are you feeling about this potential play-in tournament?
I cannot wait. I would say this, though. When it first announced this, first, I'm like, man, what? Like, if you can't make top 8 after playing 82 games, like, that's your problem.
Right.
That's your problem. I would say, before I even give you my answer, I will say that I wish, like, the 7th seed was still safe and, like, you had to make, like, 10-9 play. And then 10-9 got to play the 8th, you know, 8th seed to find out who's going to be the final one. I feel like at least if you make the 7th spot, you should be safe. But I'm looking forward to, like, the East. I feel like it's going to be – look at that. Like, the Sixers not going to have Embiid. The Bulls are awful. The Hawks don't have Trae Young. They're awful. And the Heat is the Heat. We know what the Heat going to do. Come out of that anyway. In the West, man, I think it's scary for the Warriors. I think Houston going to catch them.
It's a possibility. It is. I mean, they're not that many games back right now.
I think it's like a game.
Half a game.
Right now. See what I'm saying? It's spooky for the Warriors. Like, and I was kind of high on the Rockets going into the season anyway because they got a real coach.
Right.
Get them some structure. They got some.
They won 9 in a row, too. People don't understand it. Jalen Green's playing out of his mind.
He got that extra wiggle. If y'all know, y'all know. He got that extra wiggle in him now. You know, but I think Houston might catch the Warriors. But if they don't, I think that 4 in the West, if you know, the Warriors and the Rockets, whoever's in that 10th spot, man, that's fun. Look at them matchups. Mavericks, Suns, Warriors, Lakers, or Rockets, Lakers. Man, listen, like, as a Hoop fan, come on, man.
I'll be real. If Houston finds a way to get in this, like, I think they can really make some happen.
That could be scary really for the Lakers.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, they might catch the Lakers slipping.
Just never randomly. Know. Exactly. Like, course, I would go with Bron, of course. But if Houston would beat them, I wouldn't be shocked if Houston beat them.
And that's the thing people got to take into consideration too. Like, that's the 9-10. So, like, if you lose that game, you done. You know what I'm saying? You don't get another chance.
Yeah, you don't get another shot. Yeah. So it's like that is actually, man, that's spooky for the Lakers and the Warriors to be in that 9-10 spot, to be honest. But man, I'm looking forward to it. When to start on the 16th?
Yeah, the 16th. Starts, it's gonna be crazy.
I'm gonna watch the East because I love hoops, and the Bulls is gonna be playing one of those games. They can mess around and beat the Hawks in that game. The Bulls can,
right?
But I will say, I hope Embiid don't come back. Like, I don't think he should.
I feel that. Yeah, he's paid. I mean, like, even if he, I mean, especially with it being so late in the season, you know, he probably shouldn't come back, because I mean, he's not gonna be 100% by the time, even if they want to make it out of this play-in and make the playoffs. Like, it's just
he's not gonna be in shape,
right? And I'll be real, I'll have to give it to Philly, because I mean, they've been able to keep afloat, you know, somehow, you know, with Embiid being out. Tyrese Maxey's been able to step up to the plate. You know, I love the trade deadline when they got guys like Buddy Hield. They acquired Kyle Lowry as well. So, you know, they've been able to keep afloat.
You like them additions? You like them getting rid? You like them getting rid of Pat Bev and bringing in Buddy Hield and Kyle Lowry?
I mean, it's decent to me. I mean, Buddy's always been a shooter, and I've already been saying, like, I don't know if Buddy in Indiana's gonna work out. And it's crazy, because I mean, even though Indiana's a really good team, I don't know. It just, I've always just heard rumblings about him possibly leaving. And I think I was like, you know what?
Right.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? If Buddy Hill's gonna find a way out, like, let him be on like a legitimate playoff contender. So I was honestly a fan of Philly whenever the trade went down. Now, obviously, I didn't expect the B to be out this long.
But, I mean, I don't think he's gonna be out this long either.
Exactly. But honestly, him on this team, you know, with a fully healthy Philly team is not bad. I mean, Kyle Lowry, I mean, I think Kyle Lowry's been pretty good. I mean, especially after what's happened with him the last few years, you know, him, you know, being in and out of the lineup in Miami, you know, his age and everything. So I think him being in Philly was pretty cool. And then they still got an abundance of other good talents too. So, like I said, I mean, for Philly to still be in this position as far as the play-in team is really impressive to me.
No, you ain't lying. I do feel that, because they were making these trades on seeing that Embiid was going to come back. It wasn't like they were just – I do feel that. And the fact that they not the 10th seed is crazy.
That is true, yeah. because they could easily be that.
They could. And if you watch Philly, it's not great basketball, because it's just
– It's actually funny, because I was just reminded of the game they played about a few weeks ago. They played in New York. Like, it was like some low-scoring affair. Like, I'm like, sheesh. I was watching the game. It was like 55 to something. I'm like – I saw it was like 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I'm like, hold on, this can't be the score.
Man, listen, I had got turned to that game late. And what I thought, I got to it. So, but when I got to it, it was like 36, 32. I'm like, oh, they still in the first quarter. Man. It was like 4 minutes left in the second quarter. I said, what is going on? What is happening? That was some ugly basketball. So, Philly definitely been having it.
Yeah, man, saying it made me think about when the Pacers and Pistons used to play like back in the 2000s for like Tayshaun and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey.
It would be like 67 to 70.
Exactly.
Like a minute left in the fourth. That was ugly basketball. That was ugly basketball. For somebody, I love defense, but I never want to see that ever again. Like, I don't. I'm sorry. Like,
That's one thing I'll say about the Pistons back then. They were masters at that, because they didn't score a lot on offense, but they were going to lock up defensively.
And
they
lock
were going to. That was like they was going to. They was going to leave you to just about that many points too. Because I remember when they played the Lakers in that finals, and they locked down the Lakers. Crazy.
Locked them down. Wow. The Lakers won the first game, and then they couldn't do nothing else after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just, man, it was bad. It was really bad. But yeah, what matchup are you excited for?
Obviously Miami Philly. I think that's going to be a good matchup there. I'm really excited. I really want to see what Chicago does, because I haven't really been as high on Chicago as many people have been. And I mean, they've been flirting with the play-in for a while now. Last year, I thought they were actually going to beat Miami to get that 8 seed, but they just weren't able to finish strong. But I did like what they did against Toronto last year. So I'm really excited to see what they do. I mean, even though I've been on record saying that Chicago just needs to rebuild and just start over.
I do want to see,
you know, what they can do, you know, in this playing tournament.
The Bulls, man, I ain't gonna lie. I wanna see them lose. I want a higher draft pick. I mean, we should have been just sold everybody. But that's not what the Bulls do. They don't do that. So it's like they have this thing where they're making the playoffs. So do you even call the playoffs? Like, do you call the play-in the playoffs now?
I don't even know what to call it, to be honest. I just know. I mean, it's really not the playoffs. I guess you can call it a tournament or something. I don't really know what the proper name to give.
But like, if you make this thing, so April 16th, if you in it, can you say next season I made the playoffs?
Even if you can't say that. Mm-hmm. I don't view it as the playoffs. No.
Me either.
The playoffs is like the locked in 1-8 seed.
That's what it is. That's how I feel too, because it's like the way I see these, especially the Bulls front office, like the way they be talking, is like they making the playoffs. Like, bro, we made the play in. This is not the
exactly
playoff. Like you can't it's be totally hanging your hat on it. Yeah. So okay, I'm not by myself on that one.
No. I mean, I definitely get you 100%. I mean. I don't know how people can really view it, the playoffs. I mean, because it's not really a seven game series. Like, it's pretty much like one game, and then whoever wins that game moves up or moves down or whatever it is. And then that last game fighting for the A seed, that's like a single elimination at that point.
It is.
I don't know.
I am looking forward to, though, whoever come out of these situations, especially in the West, because. If, like, say, like, the Thunder stay at number two, they're going to get the seventh seed. So you can get.
Ooh. See, that's the thing about the West. That's the thing.
Denver, about like, whoever's the first and second seed, like, you can potentially get KD, Luka, and Kyrie. Well, I ain't just going to say KD. You can get Booker and KD, possibly Bill. You can get Luka, Kyrie. You can get LeBron and AD. Like, the Warriors, I just think the Warriors are cooked, honestly. I don't think they can beat none of these teams in the first round. I'm just being honest.
I feel that.
You know what I'm saying? But outside of Curry, I think they really are cooked. But Denver and or whoever, between Denver, the Thunder, and the Timberwolves, whoever they get in that first round, that's ugly. Think about that. There is no your first round matchup is going to be somewhat easy, quote unquote. No. Like,
it's not.
The Thunder, you got Luka and Kyrie coming to town. Where you got KD and Booker or Bron coming to town and AD? That is on your home floor. That's what you go get.
As crazy as it is, like it, depending on who the Thunder may match up between those two teams, I think the best team or the one team that they have the best chance of beating between those two is probably the Mavericks. Yes. Just because of like you know defensive purposes. Even though I do feel like I think after the trade deadline, I thought Dallas honestly got better. I feel like they honestly won the trade, especially when they acquired guys like P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford, and then you still had like guys like Derek Lively. You still had like an abundance of other guys to surround Luka and Kyrie. So, but honestly, I'll be wrong. I mean, Dallas is still kind of like a liability defensively. Sometimes Phoenix can be to a degree, but see, the other thing about Phoenix is like Phoenix was just supposed to be way better than what they are now. Yes. But you know, the injuries have just costed them significantly, you know, whether it's Bradley Beal getting hurt, Devin Booker's missed time. KD's been consistently there, so that's a good thing. But yeah. I don't know. It's just really hard to believe in Phoenix either, honestly.
Real quick before, like, on one more point about Dallas. If you think about Dallas, yeah, they're the seventh seed, but they're only two games out of the fourth spot.
That's true, yeah.
So it's like anything can happen. It's like they can go on they already on a win streak, I think, right now, like a 4 or 5 game.
Yeah, they're on a 4-game winning streak. They're like they're actually tied with Sacramento right now. So they could eclipse them.
See what I'm saying? So things can switch quickly. And Phoenix, and it's like they had them issues in the fourth quarter. And I was saying at the beginning of the season, this may sound like a weird point or like a casual take, but them not having a true point guard messes them up in the fourth quarter. Like
I've been saying that. I've been saying that they need a real floor general. And a lot of people want to disagree. And I'm like, you know, like
they do like
any
people disagree with me all season.
Exactly. Like people like I feel like this team would be a lot better if they did acquire like a true point guard. Like I get it, you know, Devin Booker can take on the playmaking role and everything, but I just feel like they need a real point guard on that team that can set up that's up. Exactly. I mean, it's part of the reason why I know people feel how they feel about Chris Paul, but he played a big role in him getting to the finals about a few years ago. And I get it. I know that this is a different team, and KD wasn't on this team. But hell, even last year, you know, they got to the second round. I know that, you know, basically they were injured and they got cooked by Denver, but still.
You need that. Like, they look so lost late in games. It's like KD don't want to bring the ball up. That's not what he do.
No.
He don't want to do that. So it's like, you don't have
you want KD to get a bucket.
Yeah, like you don't have him bringing up the ball, starting the offense. That's not what he does. So it's like, I feel like that's been one of their biggest problems. Like, I get it. They got firepower. Like, their roster 1 through 8, 1 through 9, it can deal with anybody. But it's like them small things that they mess up on, but they lose. Like, turn the ball over a lot. If they go up by 20-25, they lose leads so quick.
It's crazy.
So it's like, I don't know, man. Phoenix is, but like you said, You still don't want to see him in the first round. Like,
I agree.
The Thunder don't want to see Phoenix in the first round. They don't want to see
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be. I can't wait. We got what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks for,
to get. Yeah, about a few weeks. Yeah, a few weeks till till we
get. Soon as March Madness is over with, we go right into that.
Right into it, literally, because I mean, March Madness starts. It ends around like April 8th, 9th, something like that. So
you're right.
We're gonna go right into that, but. Hell, even for the one seed, I mean, Denver right now, they have the one seed. Whoever has to get an eight seed, it ain't going to be easy either.
No, it's going to be easy. No, it's not. Even if Denver win, it's not going to be easy. That'll be crazy. Exactly. Denver losing the first round.
That'd be wild. Like that.
You see it happening? Can you
see it? I don't see it happening, but anything's possible.
Anything is possible, especially like I feel like, sometimes teams have your number, and I feel like the Lakers don't want to play Denver in the first round.
Nah, I'll be real. Anthony Davis don't want that smoke. I'm sorry.
No. He don't want to play center. I don't know why. I don't know why coaches want to make him play center so much.
Right.
Like
that's my thing, too, because like I've always felt like I don't know why put him back at the power forward. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like the Lakers are better when they do have a true traditional center. Because, hell, you look at that year that they won the title, a few years back, they had JaVale McGee, they had Dwight Howard. So, I mean, AD, I mean, he may have had certain stretches where he did have to play like in a smaller lineup, played at five man, but he didn't have to play throughout the
majority of the game. Had to deal
with them. Exactly. So now you're asking him to do that. And I get it. You know, you should be able to lock into these matches when you're going up against Jokic or Embiid or whoever. But I just feel like the five has never been his true style. You could tell he's not really comfortable playing. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's been playing well this year as the five, but that's not really been his strength throughout most of his career.
He goes against a matchup that has somebody who can match his skill set at the center position, or who can be. And what it looks like is that these guys are stronger than him. That's what it looks like. Like Sabonis, Joker, like they stronger than him. Like they just be bullying him. I don't know what it is. Like he just, but he can't do nothing against them. Like that's what kills me about the whole situation with AD. It's a mystery. I don't know, but
yeah,
we're going to see. I would love for the Lakers not to, for Bron not to play Denver in the first round, but if they do, get your popcorn ready. Who knows what can happen?
That's a fact. I mean, the West is always going to be tough. You know, whoever that one seed, that eight seed is, you know, that's going to be tough. So the playing tournament should be fun. So, I mean, we just definitely got to be in tune for, you know, what's in store. And it's definitely going to fluctuate between now and then, of course, 2 or 3 weeks.
It definitely is. I will say one team, the Pelicans, I'm not saying they're going to win no title, but they're going to give headaches, even more so like they always do. But now I feel like Zion is really looking healthy and slim. 25 pounds, to lose 25 pounds in the middle of the season, that's huge. Like that's unheard of.
That is good.
I'm just
trying to keep my fingers crossed, bro, because I need to see him in the playoffs. I don't need no injury between now and middle of April. I don't need it.
Yeah. I just want to see him in the playoffs getting busy, but I think they are scary. I think that's a scary team.
They definitely are. The only thing that sucks is that Brandon Ingram got hurt, so I'm like,
shit. Yeah, like, man, they can never get that. They can never be just full.
Exactly.
Man, I feel for Pelican fans because they got that's a fun roster. You just never know.
They got a great supporting cast. You talk about Trey Murphy. You talk about Herb Jones. You talk about CJ McCollum, Valanciunas, Jose Alvarado. Like they have a really great supporting cast surrounding those two stars. Zion and BI. So
they do.
The Pels are going to be a tough team too. They're going to be a tough. I mean, hell, we saw what they did a few years ago against Phoenix when they played in the first round, and that was without Zion.
Yep.
So now you pretty much have the same team. Exactly. You pretty much have the same team, and now you got your best player
on the floor. They're going to play in your face. Mm-hmm. They're not scared of nobody.
Exactly. They don't mind getting after defensively, and that's what I like about them.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. But like I said, you know, we just gonna have to definitely see, you know, and keep in tune, you know, what happens between now and by the time the playing starts.
SeatGeek is a proud sponsor for the love of the game. There are several events getting ready to take place that you don't want to miss. Ticket prices could be a little abnormal. However, if you use code LOVEOFTGBBALL, you can save $20 off your first purchase and be in store for a great night. Again, that's LOVEOFTGBBALL. The code will be at the bottom of the description of this episode, and make sure to support the show by using it. Now, let's get back into the episode.
let's transition from the NBA and let's dive into some March Madness. We'll start with the men's, man. So how you been feeling about the men's tournament? You know, how's your bracket looking, first and foremost? Mine was busted throughout the first four. It was cooked.
So with the pod, we did our bracket. Our pod bracket done. We picked Kentucky to win. So
y'all picked Kentucky to win. Oh, y'all bold.
Yeah, we was bold. Like, we were just going with it. Like, forget it. We just picking somebody to roll with. We rolled with them. We took a chance. We knew this could possibly happen. But in my other personal bracket, I got UConn. So I got UConn to win. But I need to really look. Like, I think I have everybody left. Oh, Kentucky did fry me, though. I did have them beating Oakland. So they fried me.
I had them everybody in the Elite Eight. And I was pissed whenever they lost to Oakland.
I got some decent amount of wins. I got some losses in there. I was just taking a chance on teams, like, but I still got majority. I got Marquette still there. I got Duke still there, Houston, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa State. Who else I got left? Alabama, North Carolina. But I'm ready for these Sweet 16. That Duke Houston matchup, I don't know what's gonna happen there.
That's gonna be tough, man. Oh my god, that's gonna be tough.
That's gonna be tough. That Illinois, Iowa State. That's gonna be tough. Good.
If you ask me, I'm probably gonna pick Iowa State to come out. I just think they're gonna be the better team in that matchup. But who knows? I mean, like, you know, Illinois has been consistently good throughout this year in the Big Ten.
No, they have. I will say that. That was kind of shocking, right, for me, because I just never know what Illinois. One thing I want to say about this men's tournament is that. I think the whole world, I got into it too, where everybody was just like, man, I've seen people online, like, I'm not going to watch the men's tournament. The women's tournament got all these, they got all the stars. And people forget that the men's tournament, yeah, we come for the stars, but that ain't what we come for. We come for the madness for real. Like, these games lived up to it. Like, exactly. This is why we come for this. Like, we're not saying we're not going to. You don't have to start watching women's hoop and start
dissing
the men. You ain't got to do that. I was seeing people saying, I'm not watching the men's tournament at all. I'm saying, listen, man, you're lying.
I think it's been both games on both sides.
Yes, it has. It has. Like, don't lie for the internet and say you're not going to watch the men's tournament at all. Like,
exactly.
Don't do that. You're going to watch both. It's going to be a lot of hoops to watch. Yes. But you're going to watch both. And I feel like the men's tournament has been on point. It has had everything so far. Like, I've enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, man. I low-key got overwhelmed with so much hoops this weekend because both sides had so many good games.
It was a lot of games. Hell, there's a lot of games that I didn't even get a chance to go back and see yet. Like, that's how much ball has been between the men and women. Like, I'm trying to scramble, go back and watch certain games because I mean, it's like I said before, like, it's like the game started at noon Eastern, and then they go for like noon Eastern on like 10-11 at night, and it's like
all day.
And now you're trying to joke, you're trying to watch the men's side, you're trying to watch the women's side, and it's like so many games, man. So that's what I've been trying to do throughout this week, because right now, you know, both sides, they got a little break before the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
it's still even hard to do, but I agree with you 100%. I think the men's side has been really good. I went back and I watched Creighton and Oregon today, and that was a game right there. That one in the OT,
phenomenal game.
Exactly,
phenomenal game.
Great game. Shoot, I can even think about North Carolina going up against Michigan State. You know, that was a good matchup.
That was a good one.
I'm honestly mad FAU lost in the first round to Northwestern. I don't know how that happened. I'm sorry. I mean, I know. I picked them. I know that it was an 8-9 matchup. I mean, it's an evenly matched, but come on, man. Like FAU, I thought was really good.
They Northwestern, I just picked them because, I mean, they here, but it's like, I just never know, especially 8-9 matchup is so weird. Like you said, it's like 4-5 in the NBA, they so even.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the another good game was that Houston, Texas A&M.
That was a good game, too. Yeah, that was
OT, too. That was phenomenal. Yale, Auburn was phenomenal.
Yep.
First round.
Bro, the SEC has been disappointing me. The SEC. Kentucky, Auburn, South Carolina lost to Oregon.
Yeah, like they not.
I definitely expected more.
They're not showing up. Who showed up? The ACC been winning.
The ACC, yeah. North Carolina's in there. Who Clemson is still in there.
Who else is in there still from the ACC? The Big Ten got some players in there still. They got Purdue. You got Illinois still. Who else is in there from the Big Ten? I think that might be it now. So now I'm thinking about it. It's just them two from the Big Ten. But I think the Big East got a few teams.
The Big East. Yeah, for the SEC. Creighton's looking nice.
The only SEC team left now is it
Right now we got Tennessee and Alabama.
That's it. That's right.
Alabama's playing North Carolina. That's going to be a good matchup. I'm really – you talk about two dynamic guards, you know, Mark Sears for Alabama, R.J. Davis, who was by far the best player in the ACC this past
year. Yeah, by far. By far. Exactly. Like, if anybody say anybody else, slap them. They lying.
Exactly.
They lying.
And I'll be real. Like, I was mostly locked in on the ACC this year. And, I mean, I'll be real. Like, there was nobody touching R.J. Davis at all. And, I mean, I know that Duke had a lot of good players. I know the other.
Oh, they're not touching anybody.
Exactly. I mean, Miami has some good players and all that, but nah, R.J. Davis was by far the best player in the ACC.
They're not good. That's gonna be a fun game. Also, that Creighton Tennessee game gonna be.
Creighton Tennessee is gonna be really good. I'll be real. I mean, I know a lot of people picking Tennessee, and I'm not saying that they're gonna lose, but Creighton's a really good team. Like, they have really good shooting team. They move the ball well. Like, they do a lot of offense.
Them sets are beautiful.
Exactly. And they got a lot of dynamic scores. It's not even just Trey Alexander.
Mm-hmm. They do. Crazy. I will on your show, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Creighton.
Yep. Honestly, it's not a bad pick. You know, you know what's so crazy though? Is like throughout this entire year, everybody was high on Tennessee. And I was like, I don't think they're better than Kentucky.
No, I didn't think so either. Honestly, did not think there was better than Kentucky. And Kentucky. Man, this is like the last 4 years for Kentucky.
I'm done with them, bro. Because even throughout all this year, I got all my Kentucky fans and all that. Shout out to my guys, you know, that I talked to about Kentucky. You know, they would tell me like, yo, this is different this year, man. They really back. And I was watching this year. I'm like, yo, Kentucky really good this year. And then they do this again. I didn't even get a chance to actually watch the game. I was looking at the score. I was like, oh, hell no, they can't lose, bro. Come on, not the Oakland. Yeah. And look, I give credit to Oakland. Oakland, a mid-major team.
For sure.
Exactly.
But I will say Jonah is the one that got me on Kentucky to be watching him. He was every time Kentucky would come on, he was like, man, I'm finna watch the Kentucky game. So I will turn him on. And I fell into it. I'm like, man, Dillingham, he might be a player that can actually go on a run in a tournament.
Facts.
And they laid an egg. they laid out a fat one. They messed up a lot of brackets, but I'm with you. I thought they was better than Tennessee all season.
Right. Like I said, I had them at least get into the Elite Eight. I felt like they were good, but I think the combination of them being young, because I mean, they got a lot of young freshmen. You talk about Rob Dillingham, DJ Wagner, Reed Shepard. So, I mean, they were relatively like really young, so that could have played a factor. But man, it's like I said, I mean, you know, like Coach Cal and the Wildcats been disappointed here, like the last few years.
Do you think that formula is starting to be, especially with NIL? Is it hard to go with that formula now? Because back before that, you could just literally get everybody. The top six in each class.
I think that plays a small role in it. But I don't know. It's like it plays a small role, but I feel like it doesn't really affect like a guy like Cal like it does like other players, like other coaches. Because I mean, Cal is a legend, you know, so he's been around for multiple decades. So people are always automatically going to go to like the Kentucky. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, so like guys like or teams like Kentucky, the Dukes, or whoever, like, you know, they're automatically going to get those top stars, you know, like that's what I'm saying, like, you know, those top prospects just because of their name and everything. But I don't know, it's just tough because I mean, it's like Cal has to regroup every year. It's like Cal brings in a brand new freshman class every single year.
Imagine, exactly.
So it's like now you got to regroup every year, and it's like
it's just tough, man.
You know, I just wish Kentucky could just find a way to just get. I mean, like,
crazy, they only got one. He only has one.
Exactly.
He's in there. He only got one. That's insane when you think about it. And it's like all the players they had, he should have two. Because Memphis lost to Kansas. But but it's just crazy that he only has one with Kentucky. And like I said, the last 4 years, they missed a tournament. 1 year.
And you talk about all the great teams they had. I mean, in those early 20s, they had John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. Eric Bledsoe and those guys. Man, then you go to the mid 2010s. Booker. Cat. They had the AirPods, Malik Monk, SGA 2. Is he? Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo.
Look at all the guards in the league right now. We just named off it's like that.
All the guards, De'Aaron Fox, SGA, Booker, all of them. That's all of them came under Coach Cal. All of them.
That's insane. So it's like somebody was just talking. I was at the barbershop and they was saying, like, they was asking, do you think Tom Izzo and Coach Cal should be fired? And in my opinion, for college coaches, and I see this a lot with Tom Izzo. I mean, why? He's consistent.
Right.
Like, yeah, they were saying he's a great coach, but he's not a good recruiter. But I'm like, who say he's not? Like, they recruit for what he want for his team.
Exactly. You know what I mean, he's got a mean backcourt out there. Tyson Walker, AJ Hogarth. Yeah. Got a mean backcourt out there.
So I was like, I was just saying, like, he's consistent. Like, it's college hoops. Like, you're not going to win national titles all the time. This is not the NBA. You exactly. go to a tournament, it's 64 teams.
That you exactly.
gotta, 63 other teams you got to go through to even win. But think about the teams he's had. He's been to 8 Final Fours. He's won one. Like, think of the talent he has compared to, like, a Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, even Arizona. He don't even get the players Arizona get. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like he still go far. So I was one. I've been asking people this question because I got the question, like, should they be fired? And I'm like, Coach Cal, I mean, should he? I don't think. I mean, he's doing. It all depends what the boosters and the AD want.
It all depends, honestly. I don't see it happening right now, but I will say this though: like, if they continue to have consecutive first round exits, it could be a possibility. It could.
I'm
be.
With
but
you
I mean,
on that.
I mean, because that's the thing. Because, you know, Cal is a legend in Kentucky. You know, Cal is a legend. You know, especially with, like, how he's been able to just rejuvenate the program over the past, you know, over the past few decades. You know, it's just been really incredible. But I'll be real. I mean, you know, I think Kentucky fans and, you know, the program and stuff, they're getting upset with a lot of these first round exits. Especially this year. I feel like this year, like, I think this is the best Kentucky team that they've had in the last, like, maybe 4 to 5 years.
Yes. I thought the same thing. I thought at least they would make it to Sweet 16 at least.
Exactly. Exactly.
I didn't see a first and second round exit at all.
Nah, not at all. Especially not to a mid-major. And like I said, I'm not trying to disrespect Oakland. You know, they're
a really good team.
But we just expected more out of Kentucky. Yes. We just expected a lot
That's
more.
What it is. Just, exactly. No, that's what it is, man. We're not it's saying y'all like, not
you're,
know.
You're a 3 seed.
Yeah, like, come on, man. We're not. We saw what y'all been doing all season.
Exactly.
If you're not going to win, at least make the Sweet 16.
Exactly. Now, I mean,
Coach Cal, he may not be in the hot seat, but I bet you it's probably getting warm.
It is getting warm. It is. I can definitely agree with you on that one.
It's getting warm. I think
it has to. It has
gotta
to
be. It got to be. You miss. Kentucky cannot miss a tournament, for one. You miss a tournament, and now you got another first round exit in the last 4 years. Come on, man. Kentucky is not going for that. Kentucky not going
They're
for
not
that.
At all. They're not that type of program that really that's no. just gonna be satisfied with, like, no. just, you know, oh man, we got to the tournament. I mean, that's cool, but it's like you're getting bounced in the first round. Like they're just not that type of program. They're just not.
No, you know, they're not going for that. It's a few programs that's not gonna go for a lot of first and second round exits like that. They're just not gonna go for it. We know exactly. who they are. The Kansas, the Arizona not going for that. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like I probably sound like I'm dissing Arizona, but I'm just.
I mean, Arizona's like, good, man.
Arizona is good, but it's like when people think about college basketball, they don't. Arizona not the first team, but that program is good. They're not going for first and second round exits all the time.
Sometimes
things happen. We get that. Things happen. But you're not going to. Kentucky can't keep doing it.
I agree. I agree 100%. But before we transition to the women's, let me ask you this. So we're about to get a rematch of last year's national championship between UConn and San Diego State. How are you feeling about that? Because I was watching San Diego State today in their second round game against Yale. They looking pretty scary. And I know UConn blew them out last year. I don't know if we can expect that this year. I'm not saying that San Diego State's gonna, like, lock in and win. I'm not saying it's gonna be a guaranteed win, but it's gonna be closer than what people expect.
Okay. When we recorded our episode yesterday, I think we all said we think it's gonna be another blowout.
Really? I mean, it could be. It could be.
I think listen, because I've been so high on UConn.
Now you gonna like, be good.
I've been watching. I watched a lot of UConn this year. I don't know. Oh, because Fox got that Big East contract, so I saw a lot of UConn, mm-hmm. and it's like it says a lot when you got people that come back to a program. You it's like they're a well-oiled machine, and it's like I feel like they got a great chance of repeat for sure. And if it's not a blowout, that's good because I don't want to see a blowout. But right. I just think they're head and shoulders over a lot of teams right now. I think it's going to be a third straight easy game for them.
I can see that.
I think first half is going to be close, and I think in that second half they're going to pull away.
I mean, one thing that I'll say is that San Diego State's going to have an excellent game defensively, especially with, you know, with what they did against Yale. I think, you know, they had some good showings against UAB throughout the stretch, but, you know, obviously that game, I mean, they only won by like 4 points, I believe. It was 69-65, but you're going up against UConn, especially considering this is the team that beat y'all last year that prevented y'all from winning a national title. You got to be locked.
Like, embarrassed y'all.
Exactly. Like, it was domination from the beginning. Like, it, UConn,
from the tip. From the tip.
UConn got out to the races, yo. But I'll say this. Like, there's two guys I'm looking for, you know, to have good games. Obviously, Tristan Newton at UConn. Obviously, with him, you know, he's just a tremendous dynamic guard. And then I'll probably say Lamont Butler for San Diego State. I need him to have a really great showing as well. Like, those are two guys, you know, as far as the guards. But overall, like I said, San Diego State has to lock in throughout all 3 minutes.
So you have to have, if you're going to have mistakes, you got to keep them, like, to 5 and under. Like, you got to play damn near perfect ball against UConn. So, but it's going to be fun. If they lose, would I be shocked? Nope. That's what happens in March.
Right.
You just need one bad game. One mm-hmm. bad game, you're gonna be going back to your campus, right back if you have a bad game. But hey, it's gonna be exciting. I'm gonna be happy. What day is that? Come on, Friday.
It comes on. Yep, Friday. Yep. So I'm take that back. Thursday. Take that back. It's gonna come on Thursday.
Oh, sure. Okay. Even better.
Yeah, so it's gonna be even good. Better.
Even better.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a good one. That's probably the one matchup I'm looking forward to. Obviously, North Carolina, Alabama, that's going to be a good one. Houston against Duke, that's going to be another. The Sweet 16 is crazy this year.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about NC State. Like, NC State's been going crazy, too.
Yo, this is crazy. I'm going to ask you this. Since I feel like you really do like college hoops a lot. Why is that men's hoops still use halves and not quarters?
It's crazy. Like, I get that question a lot. Like, you know, especially for those who are now like really getting into, you know what I'm saying? Like especially for those who really are now just now getting into women's basketball, like they'll see that they have 4 10-minute quarters and then the men have 2 halves. They ask me that question all the time. I honestly don't even know, honestly. Like, I may need to ask like somebody who's like really close to the game to really know why. I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, it's still equals to the same. It's still 40 minutes, you know, for both of them. But it's like, you know, the men, they have 2 halves and then the women, they have 4 quarters. It's been like that for a long time too. I never actually knew that. I've been watching basketball for a long time. I just never knew.
Like, men's been having halves for the longest. Women's, they switched to quarters. I want to say, man, like 2017, 2018. I want to say, and they brought the shot clock down for both. But mm-hmm. my wife asked me, she was like, "Why are they doing halves?" I'm like, she's like, "Why they do that?" So she's looking at me like, "You watch hoops."
She's supposed to know.
Give me the answer. So I'm looking at her like, "I have no idea why." She's like, "You don't know?" I was like, "I don't know." Like, I can't even find nothing on Google. Like, I just don't know. Like, I didn't go deep into it. I just don't know. Like, she was shocked. I'm like, I'm shocked just like you. Exactly. I don't know why they do have. I'm like, they changed the women, but they didn't change the men. So I don't know why they did. I just don't understand why you change one side and don't change the other.
I don't know if it's like just two separate or just two people in the NCAA separate who just control the men's and one
right because it's thing. So
yeah. I don't know.
That's so tripped out. Like,
no, because I mean, because it's funny. I got that a lot this year because, you know, obviously me and a couple of my homies, you know, we'll watch the men's side on Saturday, and then Sunday is when all the women play, and then they'll see the men got 2 halves, and then the women have four quarters, and then they're like, "Yo, like, why is it different?" I'm like, I honestly don't know. I've just kind of just learned to accept it. You know, it's still 40 minutes at the end of the game. We still watch their hoops. But that's something that we need to look into. Like, I complain about that
every year and never go deep dive into it. And exactly. I always feel like nobody else cares as much as I do. when I bring it up, you know, no one else be like, everybody else be like, it's basketball. I was like, right. I just want to know. I just want to know because no other organization does have. So why are they the only one?
Like, that is true. I mean, hell, NBA does four quarters. Everybody else, pretty much high school, does four quarters too.
Junior high, AAU tournaments, they use quarters. Like,
they use quarters. Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to find this out.
We definitely got to find it out. We might need to research this after the show, for sure.
For sure.
Right. But now, how do you feel about the women's, man? Because, I mean, like we said, you know, the women's has just been just as exciting. There's been some upsets, I'll say. Obviously, Middle Tennessee, they beat Louisville in the first round. I thought they might have snuck away and beat LSU, but shout out to LSU for taking care of business. So how you been feeling about the women's side?
I will say this before I get started. I'm a huge women's sports fan. Just in general.
Me, you both. Welcome to the club.
I love women's sports, especially hoops, and I love women's softball. College softball, oh my God, I love it. I watch all the time. But I still have to say, man, like, I'm glad, like, seeing it last year, I was traveling a lot last year for work, so I was just seeing people at the hotels. Going back, like the bars locked in on women hoops. I'm like, yo, I'm loving this. Like, y'all are watching this. Like, last year, of course, you had stuff like with Caitlin Clark. You had, you know, LSU, of course, South Carolina. So you had reasons, but it was just Caitlin Clark was the main reason for sure.
Right.
It was coming in because she was just shooting from the logo and they'd never seen them like that, really like that in women's hoops. But it's like, I'm glad to see more people watching college hoops now, because you got Caitlin Clark, you got your Angel Reese, you got Juju now, you got Hannah, you got Paige, you got everybody in South Carolina, you got Cam in Oklahoma. It's so many. I'm known for getting women, but I've been enjoying all season, and I'm enjoying this now. I don't know if you see it on Twitter, like, Juju is my favorite women's hooper right now.
I mean, that's a good one.
Give it to you. I was telling people at the beginning of the season, I was telling Jonah and Zoe, I don't know if you heard this episode, but listen, man, y'all need to go watch USC. I know it's hard to watch them because it's on the Pac-12 network right now.
Yeah.
But you got to find out. Get a free link to something to watch them. But she going to give you his easy buckets. And I said, like, Caitlin Clark is the best player in the country. Juju to me was like the best scorer all year. It was so easy how she did it. It was like she's 6'2". She can handle the ball on the string. She shoots the same way every time. She can put you in the post. She can take you off the dribble. She can come off a screen. She can do whatever she wants. She can score on all levels. She can play D. She can rebound. She can pass. And she's only a freshman. And if y'all haven't been watching her since the tournament started, before I said South Carolina's gonna win this hands down, right? I think USC can pull it off.
Those are my two picks to make the national title.
Yeah, me too.
Playing the championship game, I think it's gonna be USC and South Carolina, and that's gonna be a good matchup right there.
I think USC found something towards the end and going into the Pac-12 tournament. I don't know what it was, but they started clicking differently, and you're seeing it now in the tournament, like. Man, will it be easy? No, because who they got? They got Baylor, and then after that, you got to run into UConn, and that ain't going to.
That's going to be a good matchup right there.
None of these matchups are easy. If you look at them, you got LSU got a hard one against UCLA. That's going to be hard. You got UConn. Duke is going to be fun. And shout out to Carol Lawson for what she's doing with the Duke program,
bro. Talk about it, man.
What is going on over there? Like, she got them girls.
And I'll be real. I mean, I even said this a few episodes back. Like, if there's any team that's going to make a Cinderella run, it's going to be Duke.
Man.
Like, for those who've been watching, because I've been locked in on the ACC throughout this entire season, and Duke was by far the best defensive team in that conference. They may have not been one of the top 25 teams in the country. They may have not been, like, a top 5 or 6 team in the ACC, like as far as like record wise, but defensively they lock in. Oh, and I knew that was saying coming. I knew that they were going to give people issues, and them going up against UConn, and I'll be UConn's a good defensive team too.
So yeah. that's gonna be a dog.
They can make it hard for Paige and Aaliyah over there. They can definitely make it hard.
I think they will. I mean, you talk about, I guarantee you, probably either Ashlyn Jackson or Reagan Richardson probably gonna be guarding Paige, or they might switch back and forth. That Aaliyah Edwards, I want to see who's gonna be matched up against her, whether it's Kennedy Brown or Jaden Donovan or whoever it is. That's gonna be a good matchup too. That's gonna be a good game.
It is gonna be a good one. And on the other side, you got Stanford and NC State.
That's gonna be crazy.
Listen, how we get this lucky on both sides
of that matchup?
Because now I'm really like, we're talking about it. I'm like, yo, what is, like, Iowa, Colorado is gonna be good. Notre Dame, Oregon State. What?
LSU, UCLA.
Texas, Gonzaga. Hey, man, imagine what Texas would be like if Rory didn't tear her ACL.
Man. But that gives credit to how good Madison Booker has been as a freshman. Like, I'm trying to tell people, man, this freshman class,
it's Juju, crazy.
Hannah, Madison Booker, you had Audie Cruz, who had 40 in that first round matchup.
Come on, man. Oh, 20 shots.
On 20 shots too, yes.
Come on, man.
I'm trying to think of others. I can't believe they're not
coming. Somebody else, another freshman.
Somebody.
It's so many. It's just old girl. What's the girl name on South Carolina? They call like the female Kyrie.
Oh, Malaysia Pawali. Yes.
Man.
I'm forgetting about her. She's been cooking too.
Yes. Yes. So it's just this freshman class. Listen, the next 3 years. And women's hoops is going to be crazy. And with the other freshman classes coming in, he's like, look at what Hannah and Juju is doing in their first year. What?
Both of them won their conference titles.
Come on, man. Like, what? This is crazy. It's just fun, man. It's fun. It's fun to see so many people locked in on women's hoops. It's good. And I'm going to ask you this. How far you think LSU gonna get? It's been weird all year long, man. All year.
That's tough. I think they'll beat UCLA. I think UCLA is definitely gonna give them a run for their money, but I feel like their firepower is just too strong. I mean, when you talk about when you can get the combination of Angel Reese and Nisa Morrow, like the biggest key has been Flage. Like, she has been hooping, and I think especially in that game against Middle Tennessee. So I think that's going to play a huge role as well. But also, I mean, you got to give credit to UCLA. They got Lauren Best, Kiki Rice. They got Charisma Osborne. You know, they got an abundance of other players. So that's going to be
abundance. Abundance of other players.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, I had Creighton beating UCLA.
Really? I mean, so, I don't know. Give credit to Creighton. They were really good in that matchup.
They were. So I definitely had LSU moving on. It's the hard part. Iowa, LSU. I don't know if LSU is the same as last year.
And that's the thing, because I mean, like, a lot of the key contributors that they had last year, you know, are no longer there, because I mean, they ended up graduating and stuff. So, but honestly, I mean, it's tough, man. Because see, that's the thing, like Iowa, like if you don't have an answer for Caitlin Clark, it's just over.
You don't have nothing because
and that's the thing too, because it's like
she can still pass. You know how to pass.
And that's the thing, too, because I'll be real, I had West Virginia beating Iowa. I had them because I was like, West Virginia's a really good defensive team. And even in that game, they had a really good defensive showing. But
they did.
I'll just be real. I mean, Caitlin Clark's just still amazing. You know, they got good production from their supporting cast.
She's so good.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too, because, like, she can dominate in just so many ways. Like,
so many ways.
Like, it's just so – it's like – and that's why, honestly – People can talk about her and Juju just being neck and neck as far as, you know, the best player in the women's game. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's going to have the nod anyways because of everything that she's accomplished. But Juju is, like, right there. I mean, because Juju could be in full control of the game as well.
Yes.
And Juju's just so confident in her game, too.
Yes. And the sickle I am this year, I went and got the Pac-12 network just so I can watch her. And I wonder, because everything was so easy for her. You know how things is.
Mm-hmm.
When it's easy, it's just like, of course you're going to look good when stuff is so easy. You're not being challenged. You're not having a bad game. She wasn't having bad games. None of that. Like, it was none of that was happening. I forget who they played, but she was having an awful game. I'm talking about throw the tape away. Don't even look at that. Don't even worry about this game. but she wasn't scoring. She was like, man, she was like 6 for 32. It was awful.
I want to say that was against Oregon State.
You might be right. She was doing everything else. So I said, okay. She know already at 18, 19, like, if I can't score, at least still play D, get my still be aggressive, pass the ball, get my teammates. And she was doing that. I'm like, okay, I see now. She just ain't going to be no scorer. If her shot not going, she's still going to get all the teammates involved. Like, she wasn't forcing it. Her shots just wasn't falling that game. Like, they kept giving her balls, though, because she juju. Like, at some point, you feel like the ball is going to drop. Like, it's going to drop for you. But she was still driving to the basket. She was going to the line. So it was like, I like seeing stuff like that from a young player. Like, she had adversity already. And Hannah did, too. She was having certain situations. So I was seeing them both. I'm like, already? They able to deal with this and know, like, man, my shot going to fall at some point. I still got to be engaged in the other aspects of the game. And they seeing that stuff, man. It's man, hard. It's of course, like you said, Kaitlyn gonna be above, but it's like already, Kaitlyn. We wasn't hearing about Kaitlyn doing this in her freshman year,
right? But that's also the thing too, because I mean, Kaitlyn Clark's definitely got better, but a lot of things that she's been doing now, she's already been doing like throughout her college career. I just think that more recently, last year is when everybody started to kind of take notice. And I'll say this: I think the reason why, or one of the reasons why, was because people forget Paige Bergers didn't play last year.
Yep.
And Paige, Paige had the shot. Yes. And it's, you know, deserved. Paige is a phenomenal all-around player. But I think now that Paige wasn't there last year, you know, that's what allowed Kaitlyn Clark to really get that shine.
People forgot.
Exactly.
Forgot about Paige. Because Paige, we here because I was just talking about this with Jonah and Zoe. Like, man, you forget Paige was the one people was talking about. Paige was like the consensus number one pick when she was ready to leave. Like, it was like,
exactly,
she leaves, she's going to be the number one pick. And that ACL situation happened. But now, I think now, you know how it is when you tear your ACL. Sometimes it takes 2 years to get back right.
You do.
And I think she's back right. Finally.
No, she's back right.
She
dominated the BDs.
Yes. She's back right now. So it's like, it was able, Kaitlyn found, it was like an avenue. Like, there's nobody to fill this void. And she was able to feel it because Paige wasn't Paige. So there's no knock against Kaitlyn, because Kaitlyn is that good. She is that good. Like, go look at her stuff. Like, she's that good.
Kaitlyn's a dog. Like, you gotta love watching Kaitlyn play.
Yeah, you got to. If you don't like watching her, you just don't like hoops, man.
Exactly. I mean, like, the passion that she plays with, like I said, I mean, once she, I wouldn't even say once she crosses half court, once she just gets the ball, it's like instant. Like, what's gonna happen? You gotta lock in.
And the fact that she broke the all-time scoring record, and I get it, Pistol Pete did it in 3 years with no three-point shot. I get it. It's still a long ass time. And look at all the hoopers we've had on both sides. Kids ain't just not started leaving. Kids was playing 3-4 years.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, one and done wasn't always a thing in the men's.
Yeah, like, give her credit. This record's been a long time, since the 70s. Right? Wasn't the 70s? Like, early 70s.
I want to say, yeah. Around that time, like, yeah.
It's been standing a long time. A lot of the people who watch the hoops now, we weren't even born. That's how long. You know what I'm saying? So, like, give her credit. That's a hard record, man. You're doing a lot of scoring.
Exactly.
So that's incredible, man. I love that for the women. But I know I'm just, we're talking about the tournament, but I just love women. I just never talked to other people who love women hoops.
Bro, it wasn't until I started really connecting with people on social media to really talk about hoops. I've been watching women's basketball for a long time. I never had nobody to talk about it with, because I've told this story 100 times. Like, I used to watch the WNBA and all that. Like, this is like back like 2000s and stuff, and people used to like clown me for, like, yo, like, what you doing watching this? It's crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I used to just watch it by myself. I didn't have nobody to talk about it with or nothing. And then all of a sudden I go on Twitter and I start really, you know, promote myself and everything. I start seeing people, they have that same passion as me about women basketball. And I'm like, all right, bet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, cool, let's talk. Like, this is new to me. So it's just dope to see how the game's grown.
Oh, I'll get clowned too, man. I was going to Chicago Sky games like when Della Don was here playing for them, and even before that, and people would like, it would be hard to get somebody to go with me. I'm like, bro, tickets aren't nothing. You're gonna sit right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
They're gonna be right there. Like you, it's like you're going to a high school game because you're that close.
Exactly.
Watching pros. Like, man, I got to see like Maya Moore so up close because people wasn't going to games. I was seeing everybody, like, because no one was going. And so, like, now to see how the WNBA has grown, man. Like, college hoops. I got into women's college hoops because of Tennessee, with Shamika Holzclaw and Pat Summitt. So it was like, I've been watching college women hoops since then. And WNBA with the Houston Comets. People don't even remember them. Like,
yeah, Cheryl Swoops, Cynthia Cooper.
Man, man, it was dominating. They won, like, 3-4 in a row. Like, it was... People forget that he had like, too. Man, it was fun. I'm so, and to see now in 2024 how we got a women's bracket and talking about it. People doing bracket challenges for women. It's like, man, and they hooping. These aren't bad games. This ain't like,
that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, and I get it, you know, because I've heard people talk about, you know, how why they don't like the women's game is because they're not dunking, or they're not doing this, or they're not doing that. I'm like, bro, if you're like a pure basketball fan, like, you gonna appreciate what these people are doing. It's like we talked about Malaysia for Wiley earlier. Like, you telling me when you see her on the break, you're not gonna get excited,
man?
You're not gonna get excited to watch Juju Watkins or Hannah Hidalgo, whoever.
Come on, man. Think about. And I always bring up to people when people say they're not dunking. Think about people's favorite players right now in the league. Jason Tatum barely dunks.
Yeah.
Curry don't dunk. Luka don't dunk. Joker, he might dunk 3 times a year. You know what I'm saying? SGA, I can't tell you the last time I seen him dunk. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Kyrie, he'll dunk every once in a while. Yeah, but it's like, I say all to say,
hell, we can't even get people in the dunk contest.
Yeah, you can't get people in the dunk contest. So I say all to say, it's like some of the people's favorite players in the NBA aren't even dunkers like that. So like, I know you can throw out Ant, you can throw him out, okay, I get that, but it's still a lot of top favorite players aren't dunkers. Trey Young, not a dunker. Jalen Brunson, not a dunker. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly,
you know, it's not, yes, people are dunking, of course, because it's the NBA, but everybody's favorite player is not dunking no more. So it's like, you Kyrie going to fast break, you're not expecting him to dunk. You know exactly what I'm saying? Like, you're not Curry going to fast break. You're not expecting no dunk. So it's like, appreciate the same thing in the women's game.
Exactly.
That's how I look at it, because it's all skill at the end of the day. These women can handle the rock.
Can play. Like, they can hoop. Yeah. Like, not even just college. You talk about the WNBA, Asia Wilson, yes, Brianna Stewart. You can go Ryan Howard from Atlanta.
They can hoop. Like, they can hoop, man. Like, these ain't just like they can hoop hoop. This ain't just, oh no, they're excited and they can hoop, man. So it's I'm glad we met, and that I met somebody else, because Jonah and Zoe, they like women hoops as well, but it's like, I like meeting other guys. I like women hoops, man. So it's I appreciate you. I appreciate you loving women hoops like this, man, because it's fun.
It is fun. I'll be real. I appreciate meeting you too, honestly, because I mean, it's like I said, you know, like, the way I was able to connect with a lot of other, like, people who love women's hoops was through social media. So, like, that was my outlet. Like, all everybody else in real life that I met and stuff, like, they ain't really locked in on it. I mean, I think they started getting into it now, but like 6, 7, 8 years ago, nah. They weren't even really like locked in on it like that.
6, 7. Ooh, absolutely not, man. They definitely wasn't, man. They missed some good tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
The women's tournament is always good. And that's the thing people fail to realize. It's rarely boring. It's rarely boring. The only thing I don't like about the women's tournament is in the first round and the second round.
Yeah, they got played like in like the home courts or whatever.
I don't like that.
I'm not a fan of it either.
I never liked that.
I hope that in the future they can switch to just having neutral courts throughout the entire tournament, just like the men's.
I never liked that, because in women tournament, a lot of times in that first round, that 1-16 matchup, they have so much of a disadvantage already that you got you got, I don't even know how to say this school name, went into South Carolina. You think they're going to win? South Carolina won 91-39. Like, come on, man. Crazy. They went to their home court. Like, that's not exactly. Even, like, how, what do you expect them to do? You sent these girls to South Carolina to get whooped. Like,
it's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
It's wild. So,
I hope they get rid of those teams playing in their home stadium. Like, please get rid of that. That's the only thing I ask. Like, going forward, please.
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. I think that
outside of that, everything is good. Go ahead,
exactly. No, 100%. But no, I mean, like I said, the women's side has been super exciting. And the Sweet 16 is going to be intense. Like, I'm really excited to see who's going to come out and who's going to get upset, you know, throughout that round. But before we get out of here, I know we've been going on for a little minute. I gotta hit you with some quick hitters, because you've been having social media in a frenzy with these pick and choose with these players and everything. So I gotta hit you with a few of them, man. I'm gonna hit you with at least three or four of them.
Okay. I like this.
All right, man. So we're gonna start with Ray Allen or Klay Thompson.
Oh my god, Ray Allen for sure.
Ray Allen, I like that. You know what's funny, bro? Like, I remember me and a few other guys, we had this debate like maybe like 2-3 years ago. And at first I was saying Klay, but then I had to go back and watch Milwaukee Ray Allen. And I was like,
Seattle Ray Allen. And this is my thing. I don't get into it with people. Like, I don't have debates. I'm not trying to, we're not going to get into an argument. But people was like, man, Klay Thompson was a lockdown defender. Now, listen. Mm-hmm. For me, lockdown, to me, when I think lockdown, I think Kawhi. Kawhi was lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson is a good defender. Not that he's a really good defender. But to me, when you lockdown, you're going to get rewarded for that. And he only got one defensive team selection. That was the second one. So for me, it's like, I'm not going to call Klay lockdown. He's a good defender.
Right. Don't,
and he's a better defender than Ray Allen. But I think people was going too far with like his defense. I felt, to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm like, man, y'all just going to act like Ray Allen wasn't nothing and just act like Klay Thompson was this much more. I don't know, but that was just...
And I think that's the thing, because people, they automatically think about Boston Ray Allen and then Miami Ray Allen, because I mean, that was more of a Ray Allen that just became a spot up shooter, but. Mm-hmm. Before that, like Milwaukee Ray Allen, and even for me, like I had to remind myself, I had to go back and watch Ray Allen highlights in Milwaukee, and I was like, oh yeah, no, this guy was different. Man, he was different.
From UConn to Milwaukee, going to Seattle.
Exactly. I didn't even bring up UConn. It's crazy. But nah.
Oh, hey, who did you pick Ray Allen?
I did. I picked Ray Allen. I'm gonna pick Ray Allen.
That was one of the ones that went nuts. I had to mute that one for sure. I had to mute that one for sure.
Right. Yeah, I think some recency bias plays into effect as well, because obviously Klay is still playing, and I think a lot of people, especially, I'm gonna just be real, a lot of people on NBA Twitter did not watch the NBA in the 2000s. I'm just calling it what it is. A lot of them didn't really start watching until like maybe like when the Warriors started like really coming alive. Absolutely. It's like,
and I did that combination on purpose. I knew it could get something like that, like, because it's Klay Thompson and it's the Warriors. And then 9 times out of 10, a lot of people are going to, last time, like you said, they think about Ray Allen, they think about him in Miami and in Boston. So that was the point of it. That made it fun. Like I said, I've been had to tell people, I'm doing them for different conversations. Because we talk about the same, you see the same stuff on Twitter and on TV about the same people in the hoop. Like, I don't want to talk about LeBron and Jordan no more. I don't want to talk about Kobe.
I've been there like the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, like, ask me that. Don't ask me that question. Like, I don't want to talk about that, but I'm trying to do other conversations. We talk about the same stuff, or you see the same stuff. So I had to take a break for these questions, but I'm glad you asking me now. So
I definitely got to hit you with them. I got another one. And I really hope that you get this one right, because it's funny. D Wade or James Harden?
Oh, I'm going
with Wade. I like that. Because like, a lot of people, they're going to go, and look, Harden, especially Houston Harden, like, that was.
You got to appreciate what he did there.
Exactly. Appreciate, like, we talk about the MVP. He was getting triple doubles left and right. I want to say he had a 60-point triple double as well. So
yes,
you have give to, credit to what he was able to do. But I ain't gonna lie, D Wade, especially D Wade before LeBron got there.
Yeah.
Was not to be messed with, bro. You talk about 06. I even think about 09 when he was leading the league in scoring. You talk about how he was good defensively. Like,
think about how good he was before he dislocated his shoulder.
Exactly.
He was on a tear that year. He could have probably won MVP that year if he didn't tear his shoulder.
He could have, honestly.
Man, he was going crazy that season, but definitely Wade. Now, people that want to say Harden, I'm not going to be mad. I don't get mad for people's choices, but when you give me your reasoning for it, then I'll be like, that's when I start challenging you on your reasoning for picking somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, whenever I feel like in these situations, a lot of times people only think about offense. They don't think about
it. They think about offense, and then they think about, like, accolades and stats.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. They don't. Yes, your resume is important.
Right.
But you gotta do a lot of stuff for me to pick you over the next person.
Exactly. 100%. Another one I got, Kevin Durant and Larry Bird. Personally, I'm going KD. I know people have been mad at me about that for years, but I just think KD, especially offensive, I think KD was definitely way better than Larry Bird. And it's not a knock to Larry Bird. Larry Bird's a legend, but I'm going to pick with KD on that one.
I'm trying to think what I did, because I did my top five small fours, and I do think I had Larry Bird second, but...
I mean, is that a wrong answer?
No, it's not. It's not a wrong answer. It's not.
But I mean, because Larry had the full package too. He could shoot it. Larry was gifted.
He is. He was Larry Bird. And it's like this. I do this by myself. I do this all the time with KD and Larry Bird. I'm always like this. You got me on a Larry Bird day, honestly, because. Man, like, Larry Bird was that guy, but KD, seven feet tall, dribbling like that, shooting.
Exactly, looking like a guard. It's crazy.
Like, and that's another person, man. People got to start appreciating him, man. You got to start appreciating that dude. He's 35. He's not going to be here forever, just like Bron not. Appreciate all that, man.
All of them, Curry, Bron, KD, you talk about Westbrook.
All these are
Kawhi getting up there in age, PG getting up there in age. A lot of guys we grew up that we've been watching for the last decade or so, man.
Man, appreciate KD, man. So in a situation like this, people was going back and forth, was getting mad for people saying, KD, you act like it was Larry Bird, and like, I can't even think of that. I don't want to disrespect nobody, but it was like, if somebody chose KD like yourself over Larry Bird, I'm not gonna be mad. Like, now, like, that don't make right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand how people get that mad. You act like people act like Larry Bird is just that much better than KD.
Nah,
he's not.
Exactly. But both guys, you know, they don't really have the same, like, they don't really have similar styles, but they both impact the game just like tremendously in their own way. I mean, I talked about Bird. Bird's tremendous all around shooter. Could pass the rock, could rebound, do a multitude of things. KD is just a sniper. You know, he could score anywhere on the floor. One of the more elite scorers in NBA history. So,
bro will give you 35 points on 12 shots.
Exactly. Like, stupid efficient.
You'd be like,
crazy efficient.
You'd be like, how he got 30? He shot the ball 8 times.
Exactly.
How this happened? So it's like, man, I can't go. You can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't go wrong with that at all. Can't go wrong with that at all. And the last one before we get out of here, this one's always been one that I've seen too. Jason Kidd or Steve Nash? That's a tough one to me.
Oh, easy for me. Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd?
And then this is I like I said, I don't know how old you are, but for me, I watched Jason Kidd a lot. He's one of my favorite point guards growing up. I just not the biggest fan of Steve Nash back-to-back MVP awards.
I get that.
I'm not going to lie. And me, Jason Kidd, I'm not saying Steve Nash was bad, because Steve Nash, what he did with them Suns teams, Jason Kidd and Steve Nash just ran up against the Spurs and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all. Like, it's,
and they were killing. They were killing the East, too.
Yeah, they were. The Nets was running through the East.
Like you talk about who else was good back then? Boston was solid. Indiana was still nice.
Detroit was
on the rise. Yeah.
Who else? Miami was still decent. New York was still, like, the East was still decent.
Exactly.
Like they were still making it to the finals. They made it back to back years, and you played the Spurs and the Lakers, the two dominant franchises in that decade. So it's like, so anybody in this situation, if you pick Kidd, you pick Nash. I ain't got no problem with it. For me, I'm just picking Kidd because he does play better defense.
That is something to take into consideration.
Yes.
Man, like, see, it's tough. I'll probably go with Kidd too, just because, you know, just because of his ability to be able to lead the way. You know, they got the two NBA finals. And on top of that, I want to say he was probably a better scorer than Nash too. Like, when you talk about just the overall package.
Now, Nash did shoot better, but I will give it to Kidd. He did get better as a shooter at the tours, especially with Dallas when they won.
That's true. Like, yeah, like in the beginning, he couldn't shoot.
Man, he couldn't shoot.
Especially coming out of Cal, he couldn't shoot.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot at all. But just because of the defense, and I just go with, but Nash is a gamer. Nash is, when he was with Phoenix, even when he was in Dallas at first with Dirk, people forget that was good. Then he went to Phoenix. He went to Phoenix, and D'Antoni just unleashed him.
People forget they actually played together too. It was like 98, 99, one of those years when they were both in Phoenix. People forgot about that, but they played together and they won about like 50 some games too that year.
Yeah. Yep.
So they, I mean, even together, they did damage and they were able to make some happen. But yeah, I'll probably go with Kidd. With Kidd just because of, you know, his ability to score. I think that he was able to get to a shot more than Nash did. I mean, it's like you say, you know, Nash was a terrific shooter. Like, you know, we can't get that messed up. But
no, yeah,
I think Kidd was just, I don't know, it was just something about Kidd that just made him just slightly more spectacular, in my opinion.
And he was so, yeah, he was just like 6'4", mm-hmm. maybe even 6'4" and a half, close to 6'5", a big point guard. He could just strong, man. You know, and he played in the era where You didn't worry about your point guard always shooting like that all the time. If you could shoot, it was just a bonus. But he was getting that offense going. He was putting little point guards in the post. He was doing all type of stuff.
So. Exactly. Man, I'm thinking about them years with him and Kmart.
Oh my God.
Him and Vince.
Oh, Kerry Kittles.
Richard Jefferson.
Oh my God. Yo.
Crazy.
What a time. What a time. What a saying, time, man. That was.
Nah, that's a fact, man. Nah, that was a good times, but yeah, I mean, that debate is really close too, but yeah, I'm gonna definitely let Kidd get the nod on that one.
I'm glad people was really into those. I'm gonna bring it back. I had to take a break because
you got to, man, because that'd be having social media going crazy.
Yeah, the mentions be just outrageous. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I had to take a break, but I've been thinking about some, so I got some coming.
We definitely got to be in tune for that, man. But we about an hour and a half in, man. My guy Jay, I appreciate you for coming on, man. We definitely got to do this again in the near future. Oh, yeah. Let people know where to find you on social media. Let people know where to find the podcast as well.
Man, so on Twitter, you can find me at Black Man Joy. So it's pretty much BLK Man Joy _. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at SayXCreateMedia. And the podcast is Uncommon Commentators on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, and TikTok. So be in tune. So we drop new episodes every Tuesday on all platforms and on Apple Podcasts, I'm sorry, and Spotify. Wherever else you listen to your podcast, we're there too.
Be in tune for all that every Tuesday, man. Like I say, you know, one of my favorite pods to listen to right now and watch right now. So make sure to be in tune. I guarantee you the people who are listening, you're going to love the content that they bring, man. But
yeah, I appreciate you, man. I do appreciate you.
Nah, for sure, man.
We're going to start having guests on too, and I'm definitely going to bring you on, man.
Nah, whenever y'all ready, man, just let me know. Yes. Whenever y'all ready, man.
Yes.
But nah, man, make sure to follow myself and Nick Andre ATR. Make sure to follow us at Love with TGB Ball. And make sure to subscribe on anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. This is wrapping up season 2 for the Love of the Game. We will be back soon for season 3, man. So once again, appreciate everybody for listening in and, you know, giving me feedback and just supporting the show. And until next time, you guys, deuces.